Hi everybody, my name is Louisa and I'm one of the staff here at Credo. And my role is to look after students who are studying health and also help look after the international public talk. But before I came to work at Credo, I worked as a registered nurse for 4 years. And during this time, I was required to work many, many night shifts. I worked from 7:30 in the evening until 8 o'clock in the morning. I worked these night shifts 3 times in the week, every other week, for those sort of 4 years. On those nights, sometimes they were really, really busy. They were full of work to do for caring for sick people, new arrivals who needed urgent attention, and in that time, I might not even get a break during the entire 12-hour shift. Other nights were much more relaxed. There was time to talk with the other nurses, have an hour's sleep break, and look after my patients' needs over the shift. But no matter whether it was a busy night or a slow night, I always longed for morning to come. For the first light to appear on the horizon to assure me that the night would end, that the morning staff would come, and that I'd be able to go home and go to sleep. Have you ever experienced staying up all night to finish an assignment that's due the next day? Well, I think you probably saw the morning a little bit differently to when I was on night shift. Rather than longing for the morning to come, you might have felt dread or worry, and that maybe there wouldn't be enough time for you to get your assignment done before the morning came. Would you even have enough time to complete that assignment? You may have wished for the night to keep on going, to give you all the time you could possibly need to get the assignment finished to a standard that you would like. The minutes and hours ticking by might have increased your stress, and you realize that the day is coming and that the time to submit your assignment is coming near. You are desperate to get the work done before the first light in the horizon appears, because otherwise you might not finish. Are we, people who are like the nurse, longing for morning to come during night shift? Are we people who long for Jesus to return? That as we wait, we are longing for the perfect future of eternity with him, where all things will be restored and renewed, where we will live in a perfect relationship with God forever? Or are we like the student who is fearful of morning to come? Are we so focused on this world that we care mostly about what job we'll get, what country we'll be able to live in, or whether we'll have enough money to do the things we want to do? Are we so focused on this world that we are not only fearful of Jesus returning, but maybe we just would rather he didn't come back at all? Or maybe we just don't even believe that he will return. Have we lost sight of who God is and what he has done that we don't even want eternity with God? We just want the right here and now to be the life that we want, and we'll do anything we can to obtain it. Let's have a look at the passage that was read out in the zines. It'd be great if you had that open. You can also take notes, and we're currently under point one. I'm going to start looking from chapter 5 to start off with, and then I'm going to go back to the chapter 4 passage, so just that you know where we're going. So looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Paul, the writer of Thessalonians, is saying here that we don't know when Jesus is going to come, but we do know that he will return. It will be like a thief in the night or a woman going into labor, something that happens all of a sudden and without warning. People will be going about their daily business and their normal lives, and suddenly Jesus will return. And on that day, judgment will occur. And looking on from verse 4, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. Those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior won't be caught by surprise when Jesus does return, as they are already waiting. In waiting, they'll be like the nurse longing for morning to come, or the pregnant mother expectantly waiting for the birth of the child. We can be sure that Jesus will return, and we want to be longing for that day now. And why do we long for Christ to return? We are looking forward to the perfect future that has been promised. We are longing for spending eternity with our Creator. If we are living for this perfect future, then that should impact how we live now and what our dreams are. Eternity needs to form the basis of all that we do here and now in this life. What things are we prioritize? Where we spend our time, our money, our energy, is all based on living for eternity now. Does eternity change your dreams? We still want to live well in this world, but our focus has shifted from not only the here and now, but to eternity. The Thessalonians passage talks about this as being children of the light. If you are a Christian, then you are already a child of the light and can have confidence in this future, and that future is certain. But it is important to reflect, does being a Christian impact the decisions you make about the way you live your life now? Maybe about what career you pursue and the life you expect to lead. Are you willing to lay aside dreams in order to witness your faith to other people? Are you willing to sacrifice time and money for your church or for Credo? As a person living in the light, everything has changed. This is not to earn our salvation, but is a response to all that Christ has done for us. For those who are in the light and know God will not be shocked when judgment comes, because Jesus himself promised his return. As we see in John 14, verses 1 to 4, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that? I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus promised his followers that after his death and resurrection, that he would ascend to heaven. He offered them assurance that he would return in order for all believers to be with him for eternity. He also declares that the only way to access eternal life is through having faith in him. This is in stark contrast to those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. 1 Thessalonians tells us that those who don't believe in Jesus still live in darkness. They will not spend eternity with God, but suffer judgment on that day that Jesus returns and be caught by surprise by this reality. Eternity will be a surprise to them, like the surprise we get when a thief breaks into our house without warning. There's no warning, there's no expectation of that happening. And so they are like the people who are like the student who is fearful of the morning. They're the people who reject God and don't expect him to return at all. They are only focused on their life now. What is most important is having the life they want now. Maybe this looks like completely getting focused on getting the best marks at university, so to get the highest paying job that you can get, that is prestigious and makes your family happy. Maybe it looks like getting a boyfriend or girlfriend that impresses your parents, so that you can get married, have a family, and have the life that you always wanted. These are not bad things in and of themselves, but they also are not a certainty. You may dream for a certain job and life, but there are no guarantees that this is the life you will lead. Life is uncertain and full of unexpected changes and challenges, and it may even let you down. Most importantly, though, is that if this world is all that matters to you, then you're missing out on the most important person, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who died on a cross and rose again to pay the price for sinning against God and bringing him shame. Jesus, who defeated death and who has promised life the way it's meant to be right now, an assurance for perfect relationship with God for all eternity. This is what we're on here about at Creator. And if you're thinking that maybe you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we would love for you to come and talk to us. We would love to read the Bible with you and help you to explore whether what we are saying is true. Because if it is, it means everything, both right now and for all eternity. Let us say it again. If this is true, it means everything, both for right now and for all eternity. And this is an eternity you want to be ready for. You don't want to be caught surprised, because when Jesus returns and that judgment day does come, you won't be able to decide then what you think or believe. Just like when a woman starts to feel those pains of labor, she can't change her mind, reschedule, do something different. That baby is coming whether she's ready or not. And there is nothing that she can do to stop that process. So too is it when the day of Jesus' return occurs. There is nothing that we can do to avoid that coming judgment. There is no stopping it, no alternate route that we can take. Once Jesus returns, eternity will be set in motion, and there is no changing our minds or our response to God. If you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then Paul says how we live now matters. As we live the dream, we have to have our hearts and minds set on the perfect future. Let's look at verses 8 and to 11 of chapter 5. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. Whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together in him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. If we believe this, we do not belong to this world if we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have a certain hope. That means 100% sure that this will happen, that we will spend eternity with God. We belong to the day that Jesus will return and our perfect future with God will begin. This assurance is guaranteed even if we pass away before Jesus returns. As it says in verse 10 of chapter 5 and also chapter 4, verse 14, we will still be with him in eternity. This is why when a Christian dies, it is still a really, really sad thing. But we have a sure hope that we will see them again on that day that Jesus returns. We don't have to be afraid that they might miss out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 15 says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so that we believe that God will bring Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. This assures us that we will see those who are that are Christians again, even if they have died, when Jesus returns. It will be like a massive reunion with all people who believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The reason we can be fully assured of this physical reunion is because Jesus himself rose from the dead and defeated death, in order that on that day that he returns, all people who believe in him, whether they have died or they are still living, will spend eternity with him. This also shapes how we see physical death and the day of Jesus' return. We do not need to be fearful of death or judgment. If we look at chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together in him." Through Jesus' death and on the cross, he took on the wrath and shame from God that we deserve. He has paid our price. And when Jesus returns, all those who believe in him will be reunited to Christ and live together with him for all eternity. So we need not fear the future. A future where Jesus will receive honor and glory for all eternity, and we will enjoy him forever. And Revelation 21 gives us a credible image of what eternity will look like. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. They will be his people, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" What a beautiful picture of eternity, where Jesus and the good of God will overthrow evil. And this will be able to be experienced by us through there being no more sickness or death or shame, as everything has been restored and made new. It will be the way that God intended it from the beginning. And we will be in a perfect relationship with God for all of eternity. But why does this actually matter to how we live now? If we are people who belong to the day, what does that actually look like? Paul gives us some instructions in verses 8 and 11 of chapter 5. As Christians, our lives are to display faith, hope, and love, and that we seek to build one another up and encourage one another. So faith. We need to be people who live as defined by our faith. In all that we do, we will be seeking to glorify God and living in accordance with his purposes. This may look like choosing to serve God rather than your parents, your family, boyfriend or girlfriend, or even your friends. To choose to commit to God above all others. This might look like going to your small group, even if it means losing an hour of study, or choosing to work in a place that allows you to share your faith, even if it doesn't have the highest income. It might mean not working in the city, but choosing a job in a rural area or an impoverished country so that you can serve people who are in need and show them Jesus. Faith in God makes a radical change to our priorities and our decisions. In all things, we are to be seeking to serve God, be guided by the Holy Spirit working in us, and to share our faith with those we come into contact with. Hope. We are to be a people who are assured by hope, and because of this, we do not despair. No matter what life throws at us, persecution, sickness, suffering, shame, We endure all things because of our hope in eternity with God, where all things will be restored. We may face many challenges in this life, but nothing can compare to the glory we'll receive in Christ on the day he returns. It will far outweigh all that we deal with in this life as our future is set. Therefore, we can also be people of hope to those around us. We can declare the truth of this perfect future to our friends and family, and we can know that God can work in them to bring them into a saving faith. And love. We are called to be a people who are characterized by love. We are called to love not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also our enemies, those who hate and ridicule us. Our love should be seen in what we say, how we treat people, who we spend our time with, and how we use our money. All of what we do seeks to demonstrate a deep love for all people, and that love should spur us to action. Maybe this looks like sharing notes with someone who missed a class, or make friends with someone you don't know, or buy someone a coffee and don't expect them to buy you one in return. Love people enough to share your faith and hope in the gospel. Also, love your brothers and sisters in Christ by continuing to declare the truth and certainty of our future eternity with God, and challenge them to have this as a central part of who they are in Christ. So finally, are we going to be people like the nurse who longs for the morning, that we long for the day that Jesus will return and longing to spend eternity with him, our perfect and certain future, our future where we will see God face to face and be free from death, sin, and evil, living in a perfect relationship with our Creator, bringing him praise and glory and honor for all that he has done? Or will we be like the student who only cares about the night and what we can do in this world? Will we be people who fear and dread the day that Jesus returns, or completely ignore God and pretend that this world is all that is and all that matters? We actually can only be one or the other. So I pray that you choose to follow God so that you will not be surprised when Jesus returns, and so that you do not miss out on this perfect future. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are God. We thank you that you created this world because of your incredible love. We thank you that your love made you send your son Jesus to this world to die for us, to bear our sin and shame, in order that and rise again in order that we might know you, Lord. We thank you for the assurance of a perfect future with you, and we pray that we would be people who long for that day and who are changed by the reality of that future hope we have. Help us to be people who seek to love you, have true faith and hope in you, and that be seen by the people that we interact with. Lord, if there's people here who don't yet know you, I pray that you would be working in them to show them the truth of what we've talked about today, and you might help them to see that this eternity is real and that we can be prepared and not surprised for it. Thank you that you are God of all things, and that we get to spend eternity with you, our Creator. Amen. So now on your tables, on your outlines, there's two questions at the end. And if you want to spend about 4 minutes going through that with the people on your table, that'd be great.